This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny, the big one. When the day started, when we first put our show rundown together, wasn't even on the radar, but Jessica Mendoza on ESPN went on the morning show. So it's the old Mike and Mike show. This is
Golic and Wingo now.
Golic and Wingo is the name of the morning show on ESPN Radio. And she went on and guested it, and they asked about Mike Fiers. For those of you who aren't familiar, Mike Fiers has pitched in Major League Baseball for years. He was acquired by the Astros in season as part of a trade a few seasons ago, and he was there throughout 2017 when they were at their height of this video cheating scam. He saw it in his age 32 season. He had an ERA over 5, so maybe it didn't benefit him any. I mean, it was the worst year he's had in his career. In fact, almost every other year really successful. That year he was terrible. But regardless, he started the next season with Detroit, and when he played against the Astros, he told young players they're doing this. He was really frustrated because he thought it was costing guys jobs. It was having young kids getting called up in games against the Astros. They were getting knocked around. Maybe their only opportunity in the big leagues to prove themselves, and maybe they'd never get another chance again. So he told the young pitchers with the Tigers in 2018 about this ploy, about what they did, about how they cheated. And he did the same with his A's teammates in 2018 as well. He was with the A's, 33 starts, a 3.9 ERA last year, a 15-game winner, punched out about 85 batters in every 90 or so innings he pitched. I think he was right around 6.5, 7 strikeouts.
He's got a no-hitter too, doesn't he?
Yeah, in his career at one point. But Mike Fiers, my point in bringing him up is he's a good pitcher. He's a good major leaguer. He's been in the big league since 2011.
Right.
And he lit fire to the Astros organization publicly. Everyone else just kind of floated this idea to teammates, to people behind the scenes, and nothing happened. Fiers came out and put his name on it in a story with The Athletic.
Yeah.
Here is what Jessica Mendoza said about him.
Do you have a problem with Mike Fiers leaving the Astros, going to another team, and then going public with this?
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is what's going on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened, but it came from within. It was a player that was a part of it, that benefited from it during the regular season when he was a part of that team. And that, when I first heard about it, it's just, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know. But to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
So then I guess the Astros should have been allowed to keep doing it because their point is you shouldn't have let it happen. It needed to come out naturally. Well, that wasn't happening. Everyone knew since 2017. There have been conversations had in front offices everywhere about the Astros for years. The Nats going into the World Series had to divulge and devise this brand new plan for putting symbols and signals down because they knew the Astros were stealing them with technology. This was known. Baseball was doing nothing. The only way that people actually ever do anything about something is when there is this outrage where everyone basically wants their pound of flesh.
Exactly.
Until then, Rob Manfred can just turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah, there's a critical mess. How should Tim Donaghy have come out that the refs were fixing games? Is it that have to be organic? Does Ken Rosenthal have to dig for another 2, 3, 4, 5 years until everybody involved is retired and then we can figure it out? We legislated steroids after the fact. And again, it wouldn't have happened had Jose Canseco not just started shooting off at the mouth. You know what I mean? It's I don't get this opinion. Really.
How about this bombshell? Ken Rosenthal just reported this a minute ago. Carlos Beltran has stepped down as the Mets manager.
Bam.
So Carlos Beltran, who was hired this offseason as the manager of the Mets, has stepped down. He didn't get fired, but he stepped down. So you now have A.J. Hinch out in Houston, his bench coach who orchestrated this plan, Alex Cora, who was the manager of the Red Sox and won the 17 World Series and the 18 World Series with two different organizations, stepped down in Boston slash get fired, mutually, whichever you prefer. And Beltran, who was the player who was implicated directly as being involved because Cora and he kind of devised this to help Beltran out at the end of his career, the manager of the Mets has now stepped down. They don't have a manager right now.
Wow.
So if you are Buck Martinez, who's already interviewed for one of these jobs, you're probably getting a job. I would think Dusty Baker. Throw your name into the hat. Go manage the Mets. Go manage the Astros.
Call
go manage
Brody
the Red
Van
Sox.
Wagonin, yeah.
But man, oh man. So he has stepped down. You can react to that if you want to. But I want to stick with this Jessica Mendoza thing, and I want to take some calls. 800-636-1067. Ed's in Bladensburg. Ed, what do you think of what she said about Mike Fiers and the fact that she's sad that he came out and he told on his teammates?
First of all, thanks for taking my call, guys. You guys are the number one show in this world, so don't
thank
let
you,
anybody
brother.
Tell you otherwise.
Nice to
you.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. You're welcome. So here's my problem with this, and I'm going to be truthful. Just as a sports, you know, fan, as you guys know, we tell people in this world, and we tell sports people in this world, that when something is happening, right, no matter if it's your, you know, coach, player, and I'm even going further and say if it's your own family, it doesn't matter. You have to be truthful to yourself. You have to be loyal to yourself. Why is she? It's like what she pretty much said is, you weren't and didn't show any loyalty to your club, to the clubhouse you're in, even though you're gone. So you will not get any respect, and that's why I'm upset that you said it. Why? We tell everybody to be truthful about things that happen, and if it happens, be truthful when you're asked or just speak up and say that it's happening. Don't hide it just because you play for a team. Don't think that the integrity of yourself needs to be put over the top of the integrity of the team. And that's almost what she's saying is that, oh, he came out and said and snitched on his previous team, and that's what I'm upset about, and that he should have did it.
Now,
well,
and
if something happens, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's a great call, and I love the sentiment there. I could totally understand this, Grant, if Fiers is still on the Astros and he's doing this during the 2017 season or just afterwards. Then I go, dude, huh? That's a little bit, you're on shakier ground for me, right? You benefited from this. You're benefiting from it right now. You're still getting gigs. You know what I mean? Like, I could understand that sentiment.
And he's been on two teams since he left there.
Years removed where you're spreading what's an open secret. I mean, this is one of those things that, I keep coming back
to
steroids.
You know what this reminds me
of a lot? Everyone knew, but nobody was public with it. Yeah.
So this is what this reminds me of. And I hope, you can never, like, use these analogies without people being mad that you're linking the two.
I know.
I'm not conflating these two things at all. Okay. I promise you I'm not. This just reminds me of, like, for years and years and years, people kind of supposedly quietly knew Bill Cosby was doing some of the things he was doing or was, like, involved in those shady things. And apparently, like,
it's like my buddy Hannibal Buress.
Right. So
a viral stand-up set.
I have not, ever heard about it until later, but having gone back, like, this was, like, a well-known thing in comedy circles. And then Hannibal Buress just kind of decided he was going to talk about it publicly when no one else was.
He was responding to a chatty person on a Sunday night show in Brooklyn at the Knitting Factory, I think. And...
but he kind of jumped over a line that no one else had.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, people were like, the allegations were out there. And this happens sometimes where you go back and there's like 15 years of warning signs or people being like, yeah, I knew that. It's like, well, how did this keep happening? This is only a few years and it's a baseball. This is a game and it's cheating in a game. It's nothing like ruining lives and some of the things that happened with Cosby. My point is, I don't want to say everyone in baseball knew. I've had conversations with players and with front office people for close to 4 years about this, about how shady the Astros were being and some of the things they thought they were doing. I dismissed a lot of it as paranoia because my point is, well, if they know, like, something would have happened. They'd have been in trouble. Nobody really went hard and went public until Mike Fiers. He is, I think, going to be viewed negatively by a lot of players because he violated the code.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Mendoza, who played softball at the highest level, was on the Olympic team, is now working for the Mets. She's coming from that clubhouse mentality of the code of what happens in here stays in here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no valor in that, in my opinion. And here's I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but here's the last point I got to make. Because she works for a team, this is a worse statement.
I 100% agree with that.
She works for 100%. The Mets. By the way, Beltran just stepped down from that organization. This didn't help him, for the record.
No.
But, and I don't know how or why she works for the team.
She's an advisor.
She shouldn't be able to while also doing television on ESPN night in and night out. That makes no sense to me. My guess, and now I'm going to sound like a jerk, but I'll bet she just kind of works for the team in name more than anything else. Like, it's a cool thing that they hired Jessica Mendoza, and she's, look how high ranking she is and all these things. But if she's actually involved in the operation while on TV, that seems like a huge conflict of interest to me. But regardless of that, she's an employee of the Mets. She's an employee of a team basically saying, how dare this guy come out and admit that this team's cheating? How dare him come out and clean up baseball by telling on his teammates? That's a really bad look for a baseball employee to say. If she was just a TV person, that's one thing. She's an employee of the Mets. Doesn't that change this a little bit?
Does to me.
800-636-1067. Anybody on her side, I would think that that's a big group of people, to be honest. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You have a problem with Mike Fiers leaving the Astros, going to another team, and then going public with this?
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is right. What's going right. on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened. But it came from within. It was a player that was a part of it, that benefited from it during the regular season when he was a part of that team. And that, when I first heard about it, it's just, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know. But to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
That was Jessica Mendoza, ESPN Radio, on Golic and Wingo this morning. Look, I actually think she has a little bit of a point because there is a side to this where what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. I just think that the betterment of the game that this rose to the level of severe cheating and the game being in jeopardy in some way is more important at some point than just taking care of your buddies. He's not coming out of the clubhouse and saying, hey, you won't believe how many guys in that clubhouse cheated on their wives while I was there. Like, that's a bad look.
Okay.
You know, Junior Gallette on Twitter, I don't remember all the specifics, but he went crazy one time on Twitter tweeting about all these people with the Saints and Sean Payton, and there was stuff about, like, what kind of guy they were, husband
right.
they were.
That's right.
Like, that, to me, ugh, that's awful. This is not that. This is, the game is being cheated. Championships are changing hands, possibly because of this. Guys might be losing jobs, and numbers are being inflated.
It's different than personal stuff.
Absolutely. Awards are being won. So you could say she has a point about the clubhouse and protecting your buddies. Doesn't mean, at some point, like, where do you draw the line? Does she think that no one should ever, ever, ever tell on a team? What if they were doing something worse than this? Now, when is it okay then to tattle? And I believe, I really do think, if she wasn't a team employee and she was just saying this and she worked at ESPN, this wouldn't be as big a deal.
It's a media opinion I disagree with.
Correct. There's a lot of those.
Yeah.
She's an employee of the Mets. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she does. I don't know why or how she has that job. If she's on television on Sundays calling baseball games that the Mets are playing in. I can't figure that one out for you.
Uh-huh.
I got no information there. I didn't even know, honestly, she was an employee of the Mets until I read that today.
Yeah, it was a thing that I went, I can't believe people are just fine with this. Nobody cares about conflict of interest, by the way. Regular folks just don't care.
Maybe I heard about that and just said at the time, that makes no sense, that's ridiculous, and never thought about it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember knowing that, but regardless, her being an employee in Major League Baseball saying this, that's what makes it a problem.
So, yeah, again, I disagree with her, and then I'm with you. I think it escalates when
because doesn't it make you wonder, like, what else do you sweep under the carpet?
Exactly.
What other things in baseball are we hiding?
But so her thesis, if I may, not to put words in her mouth, but the thesis to me seems to be, if this comes out in the natural course of events, a.k.a. it's discovered by a reporter, or Major League Baseball decides enough is enough and they do their due diligence and investigation, and then this comes out, that's okay. But because the catalyst is Mike Fiers, people take it seriously. Here's my counter to that. You don't think teams are complaining? You don't think the Yankees are going, hey, this is happening. Holy crap. And they're laughed at. You sound like a conspiracy theorist. You sound like a crazy person. Man, they're using electronics, man. They're doing an Apple Watch thing, man. We're going to lose because of it. You sound like a crazy person, right? It takes this. It takes the breaker. It takes the person to step out to get everybody to go, hey, wait a minute. We should be looking into this. It took that. This wasn't going to happen unless Mike Fier said something. I keep saying the same thing with steroids. It wasn't going to happen until Jose Canseco started spouting off about nonsense.
Because otherwise you just dismiss it and you move on.
Everybody that looked at baseball, covered baseball, was within baseball 100% with 99% certainty knew that performance enhancers were rampant. Everybody knew. You couldn't write about it because you didn't have a smoking gun.
You move the needle into the public sphere, and now you get the outrage and the anger and the people that want change. And that's when the commissioner does something. That's
exactly
when people step up. It took a player putting his name on it. I don't even know if that would have happened if it was just unnamed sources. And why is it more admirable or more respectful, more respectable for Mike Fiers to not put his name on something?
Right.
He could have done that. He could have told Ken Rosenthal all of this as an anonymous source. That's more admirable than him coming out and saying, you know what, if I'm going to say this, I want everyone to know it was me. And that way it'll give it more credence. 800-636-1067 is the number. You want to react to Jessica Mendoza's comments. She's sad for baseball that Mike Fiers did this. She doesn't think he should have. She has a problem that he went public to the media with, not his allegations, but his correct information about the Astros cheating. Patrick and Culpepper, what's up?
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good, buddy.
I'm going to throw you back on hold. Your phone's terrible. Marcus, Gainesville.
Hey, what's up, Grant, Danny? How y'all doing, man?
Buddy,
great. Thank you.
Good. Appreciate you having me. So give me a moment here. I'm going to rant, but I'm not going to curse because it's on air. What gets me is that she's mad because my man had the stones to come forward and actually say that they were cheating. You know, when I was growing up, it was, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And that's what the Astros did. They screwed up. They effed up. They played with fire, and they got burned. And I just think it's ridiculous how she's trying to say, oh, it's in clubhouse this, clubhouse that. Man, that's BS, okay? Screw that. What they did was wrong. I think they should be vacated of their championships. I think, me personally, I think everyone that was on that team and that knew about it and was involved should be banned for life on baseball. Make an example out of me.
You're going Black Sox scandal on us. I mean, remember the Yankees during the ALCS basically came out and said, I don't remember the specific quotes or how it happened, but they were alleging some of these things. And I don't know that they got laughed at, but the reaction was basically,
yeah, okay, you got beat.
Sure, okay. Go back in your hole, little buddy. Like,
I'm
nobody
sorry, are those
cared.
Grapes sour? Yeah, exactly.
Nobody, Danny Farquhar said, he stopped on the mound. He was in this report, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first guy to notice it on the mound. Every time he threw a changeup, said he was throwing a great changeup that night with
the
White
Sox. You can hear the trash can.
He goes, every time I'm throwing a changeup, I hear banging, banging, banging. He goes, it took three or four changeups, and he said, this is ridiculous. So he stepped off. The noise stopped. Throws another changeup. Gets the noise again. Calls his catcher out. And he goes, hey, let's change the signs. And the signs were different after that. And there was no banging. So he was the first guy to notice it and start spreading the word around a little bit, I think, on an opposing team. These people went to baseball. They went to their teams. The teams spoke about it, even in the media. We all kind of discussed it. If you read Passan, if you read Rosenthal, there have been just kind of rumors floating forever. Nothing happened until Mike Fiers.
Yep.
So her point is,
it's not sad.
Not that it's bad that they did it. Her point is, I hate that he did this and this is how it happened. Would you rather they still be cheating?
5 years from now.
Would you rather nothing have happened and they're just continuing to do this and we all just have to pretend like nothing's going on and turn a blind eye to it? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We'll be less teams cheating, hopefully. Let's wrap up the calls on this. Patrick's in Culpepper. Hey, Patrick. Patrick, you there?
Yes, I am. How are we doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Good, man.
So I'm on Mendoza's side, and it's twofold. Number one is I'm kind of very anti-outrage mob, everyone on social media.
Same.
You know, catch your breath a little bit, people. That's number one. And number two, this should be more on Major League Baseball than it is on the team. You know, compare it to the NFL. You should be more proactive rather than reactive. You know, the when you look at the NFL, their substance abuse policy is probably rivals any law enforcement agency compared to what Major League Baseball had to do well after the fact that steroids came out.
So I guess is the point then that the ideal is the ideal situation that Major League Baseball catches wind of this and immediately steps into action and fixes it?
Sure.
Yeah.
We'd all prefer that.
We'd all like that, right?
It didn't happen though.
And I don't think it ever would have happened. I don't know how to say it better than that. I mean, you'd think of any scandal, right? And with even with the NCAA and how silly their self-reporting model is. Like, they basically say, you got to police yourself, and then we'll come in and look at it. If we don't like it, we'll punish you more or less, whatever, right? But the nature of scandal breaking in anything, think of Watergate, think of anything where anything has ever broken, the idea that this mechanism will just be in place that governs itself to fix it because it makes everybody look good. You think Major League Baseball is excited to come stomping in there and start talking to people, and now guys are losing jobs? Now we have to have tough conversations with the Players Association about, you know, because there's no CBA for suspensions for using electronics to steal signs. Nobody's done that before. We didn't have that when the last time we sat down to negotiate some, splitting up of money and how punishments would be allotted. This is not going to happen without a violent step forward, and that's what fires was and is to me. So is it naivete to say, I wish we were in a world for true where everybody would just fess up to it and Major League Baseball would have come in and stopped this out? Yeah, that would have been nice. I just don't think that's realistic. I think it's an unfair expectation.
I wonder if this is over now in terms of people losing their jobs, because it doesn't seem like any players are going to get any kind of punishment, which we talked about yesterday, but it does seem odd that Commissioner Manfred decided that players all benefited in some way, he basically said. He said, if you played for the Astros, you probably were involved in this, either in setting up the equipment or the technology or helping decipher the signs or banging the trash can or being in the batter's box when it was all happening. He basically said, if you played for this team over the course of the season, you're involved. He implicated all the players. They're not getting in any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really sit right with most people. The owner got out scot-free, who Manfred works for, who he basically, a couple times in his statement, immediately tried to say he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything. But everyone else, employees, team president, GM, manager, all of them, they're in jeopardy of losing their jobs, and two of them did. So you've already now got Cora out in Boston and Beltran stepping down within the last half hour for the Mets. He never managed a game, by the way. Part of this is just a really sad story, too, because now, Alex Cora's whole life has been baseball since he was sitting in the press box when his dad was managing in Puerto Rico or wherever it was his dad started managing when he was a little kid. His whole life has been baseball.
Yeah.
The only thing he cares about and knows is this game. Now, he did the crime, and now you got to do the time, so to speak. So I'm not saying he's a victim here, but it doesn't mean it's not sad. It's sad what happened to Aaron Hernandez, by the way. I was watching that documentary going, man, this is sad. Doesn't mean that this guy isn't awful.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball-wise here, going back to what these guys did, doesn't mean they didn't do the wrong thing, but I could still feel bad that Cora, who's a good man, who loves baseball, who cheated, he's out. He's done. He'll never get a job again.
Yeah, so there are four
Beltran
people.
Beltran has wanted to be a manager, supposedly, for like a decade, Danny.
There are four people that this is how we're going to remember this scandal. And again, no one's comparing scandals here.
So that's Luno, Hinch, Beltran, and Cora.
That's the four. That's going to be your infamous four.
The four that got fired.
Yeah, the same way. And again, I'm not comparing scandals. Nobody will hear that part. But the same way that when we think of what happened at Penn State, that's just four people. And that's all. And we're supposed to not look at it, not think about it anymore, ever again. It's very convenient when it happens that way. So I don't really have... I think they didn't approach doing anything to the players because, again, there's nothing in the CBA about it, and they didn't want to take that on with the players' union, knowing that there's a CBA negotiation coming up very soon in terms of how to divvy up the money. And, you know, had they gone after players, I think that would have made things more arduous and everything else. So I can also understand that, you know, if a guy takes a sign one time, is he as guilty as a guy that may have done it 20, 30, 50, 70, 200 times? Nobody knows how to prove how many times things were done, et cetera. We're not hearing anything about the clubhouse attendance or the review guys who were actually the ones doing this, taking the feed that wasn't supposed to be used for that purpose that was being used for that purpose. We don't know those names. We know four names, and those are the guys that are going to bear the brunt of it. And Major League Baseball wants this to go away ASAP. They want it gone. And I think the key to this whole deal, after this initial salvo, is the thing that you've said a few times, and I think you're dead right about it. Other teams are going to get off very lucky who are doing this some of the time or have done this or whatever. We're going to think of two teams, really just one in the Astros. We're not really going to consider the Red Sox, even though they had their whole Apple Watch thing that nobody wants to talk about. This was every bit as bad as this video stuff. There are probably six, seven, eight teams. Who knows how many people have been doing stuff like this. There are cities and there are players and there are organizations right now that are wiping their brow going, phew. It's just those four guys, and that's where it's going to end.
And this from a listener here. Didn't know players had the code like cops. Snitches get stitches, yada, yada, yada. Says the retired federal investigator, nothing thrilled him more than live testimony from an informed witness. Said kudos to Fires for opening Pandora's box and exposing the corrupt underbelly. Mets assistant Jessica Mendoza is full of it. Doesn't know what she's talking about. You give a crooked person or team an inch, they'll take a crooked mile until caught.
And so, last thought on this. Betraying clubhouse culture, a.k.a. a guy, you know, I don't know, steps out on his wife, or who knows what that is. Absolutely. This is not a clubhouse culture thing to me. That's the last part of her statement that I kind of scratched my head at, right? This is an on-field cheating thing. That's very different than, like, a secret a guy told you in confidence, you know, where it's like, hey, I think my wife's leaving me, or, hey, I've been, I don't know, I'm going to a therapist once a week, or I go to a hypnotist to try to forget about the fact that I'm over my last 25. That's stuff told to you in confidence. That's not what this is to me. Maybe it's easier for me to draw the distinction because it's on field versus off, but I don't know. I don't know where you're at on that.
Well, I don't fault the Patriots players who knew, if they did, about Spygate, let's say, for not coming out and saying that they were recording other team sidelines. But I wouldn't have vilified and thought lesser of and thought that whatever player did come out and say that had someone of, I wouldn't have crushed them either. I think doing the right kind of moral thing so that you can sleep at night, if that's what this was for Fires, if you really care about baseball and the betterment of this sport, I'd say that, yeah, you got to find a way to let people know what's going on. And if you've tried to do that behind the scenes and you're getting a blind eye turned to you time and time and time again, then maybe you try something else. And that's going publicly with your name on it to say this is what's happening. And you let the public decide at that point whether or not they're going to care enough to force Manfred to do something. The part of me that wants to defend Mendoza, it's a very small part of me, is the person who knows people are so quick to just get mad at everything everyone says. The one caller called in, Patrick, and said, I hate the outrage police. And I think there's some of that where they just want to jump on someone for saying something you disagree with. But in this case, I think it was just not a good take, especially for someone who works for a Major League Baseball team, and especially for someone who works for a team with one of these guys as their manager up until he stepped down, which was
moments
several
ago.
Hours after she said this. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll hit the leftovers next before we get out of here.
We are Grant and Danny for our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. Losing weight is hard. It is. That's the reason there's a million products. That's the reason there's a million infomercials and this juicer or this crash diet or this thing where we only eat raspberries on Tuesdays. It's complicated. It's hard. There are real life challenges. EMP 180 knows it. They are different. They give their clients the tools to lose the weight and empower them to keep it off forever. We are both graduates and we know what to do.
EMP 180 will help you. It'll change your life for the better. There's no time to start like right now. You decided this year was going to be the year you're getting into shape, right? But now we're 2 weeks in. What are you doing so far? Get going. EMP 180, get that consultation.
Give them a call. 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Or visit EMP180.com. Do it today. Set up your consultation.
Rosenhaus wrote in a letter that the NFLPA received today. He would like to work with Brown, but not until he first gets help.
So in other words, you've got to get your life together, and then I'll rep you?
Sounds that
That's
way.
That's how that means? Yeah. It's conditionally terminated, which is interesting. So it would be
if you're Brown, though, you could just sign on with another agent tomorrow.
Sure, whoever wants you.
Go negotiate a deal with whatever team calls you because they're desperate for a receiver next year.
Right.
Well, he keeps acting like he did on social media this week.
The arrow's not trending in that
direction. He's not getting a call.
Yeah. The arrow's not trending in the get yourself on a team.
If he doesn't get another opportunity, which I don't think as of right now he will, he'd have to really walk the straight line for a short while here. But his teams are so desperate, and the Patriots, among other teams, somebody's going to call him, I think, if he gets his act together for like 6 months. But if he just keeps living how he's living right now, he'll go down as one of the saddest kind of top-to-bottom stories in sports in a long time.
Without a doubt. And especially
when's the last
there's...
time you can remember a guy, I don't mean injuries like Robert Griffin, but like completely healthy, best in the sport at a critical position to just because he acted like an idiot, being completely unemployable.
So this is different, obviously, but the aforementioned Aaron Hernandez. Obviously, I mean, now his extracurricular activities weren't, I mean, this is just, at this point, this is just, we haven't gotten to the dangerous, life-threatening point with Brown, but honestly, who knows where we're headed in terms of some of these things. But a guy on top of the world, prime of his career, still capable, by the way, of being excellent. You just kind of, each new day brings a, oh my God, we're that much further away from him just doing the thing that he got himself known for. Obviously, again, they're not the same situation. But I think about Brown, and it's gone from like legitimate criticism, where I would go, this is so dumb, what are you doing? This is now cringeworthy and sad. And, you know, I'm no mental health professional. I don't know anything. I'm not giving you an armchair diagnosis based on 90 seconds of video that I've seen over the last year plus. But certainly some of those signs that you've read about, right, in terms of damage and what's going on with him mentally, this doesn't sound like a sound person going about their daily life, I would say.
Speaking of receivers who haven't been making great decisions, news today on Odell Beckham Jr. First of all, yesterday on Pardon My Take, the Barstool Sports podcast, Joe Burrow said that the money that Odell Beckham Jr. was handing out was actually real money. It wasn't fake like was being alleged, which is pretty interesting. So you had that going into today, and then Beckham found out that there was a warrant issued for his arrest for slapping a cop in the butt in the locker room. Not a great day to be Odell Beckham Jr.
No. Because, again, was any of that avoidable? Yep.
All of it.
Every second was avoidable.
I asked you this yesterday. Why is he in the locker room shouting and screaming anyway? Like, there's a lot of former players. We don't even know who was there and who wasn't. Because they just kind of blended in, or they were a part of the scene, or they stood on the sideline like hundreds and hundreds of college players have done in the last few years. Why was the whole thing about him? He's a
very
different
strange
cat, man.
Yes, that's
he
true.
He needs that attention. He craves it. He wants it. Those are not the kind of guys I want on my roster.
And LeRon Landry wasn't there. You see what I'm
saying?
Maybe
he was.
Well, he could have been.
You wouldn't have known it because he might have been just on the sideline not making it all about
just
it.
Maybe he's just weightlifting somewhere. But, like, he wasn't in the locker room, I mean, carrying on like a buffoon as far as we can tell. But I don't know. It's just very strange. Sometimes that happens where it's like it's cool, you know, that the superstar comes back. I mean, you know, like Miami always had that culture, right, at the U, where all the guys that went through there would come back in the offseason and work out there. It was kind of like that was one of the recruiting tools and the appeals is that if you're a kid in the early 2000s, you're watching Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and, you know, Sean Taylor lift weights in the same weight room that you're lifting in, and that was a neat deal. So at some point, it's like you have that connection with alumni. I understand you're connected. You get to be on the sideline. Now you're celebrating the locker room as if you accomplished something. It's very strange to me. Very strange.
In Blacksburg on the Virginia Tech campus, when they talk about key developments, they say key development.
Let me get one. It's a key situation. It's a third down. Or it's a free throw in basketball.
This is a key development.
Yep.
Virginia Tech's Justin Fuente is out of the running at Baylor. He was
in the running.
Named as one of the guys that could replace Matt Rhule at Baylor, which, by the way, would have surprised me a little bit. Maybe I just had high expectations. I feel like he's been slightly disappointing at Virginia Tech. Awesome offensive coach. I think really, really smart play caller and designer of offense. But I don't love the results for him so far. But anyway, he was in the running at Baylor. He no longer is, so he should be staying at Tech. That's a key development.
Hold on, let me get my keys. It's in no way an aggravating bit that they do that, by the way.
You hate it.
Just let everyone know.
I love bringing it up as much as I can because nothing annoys you more. What do you think of Fuente, who's 43? He's 33-20 in four seasons with the Hokies.
I am with you, and then I expected more. What's the usual Virginia Tech MO is they're usually super well-coached. They've got a few kids that are uber-talented that they're going to play on Sundays, right? The D'Angelo Halls, whether it's the Vicks or, you know, name that Fuller, right? They've always got a couple players. but they're going to play special teams really well. They'll get you a punt block. They'll get you some pretty good defense. They'll lose a game or two that you just can't believe they lost, but on their way to 9-10 wins. That's not the case anymore, man.
David just tweeted, this is great. He says, Honey Badger's been hyping LSU like crazy.
Yes, there's one.
He was on the sidelines and in the locker room. Amazing we didn't know about it. So correct. By the way, that guy, I love Tyrann Mathieu. He had an awesome post the other day about a video that went out of him where he had a chance to drill Deshaun Watson, and he didn't. Did you see this? Basically,
No. He
came on a blitz at the end of the Texans game with
Kansas City
this past week, and he just kind of pulled up and didn't hit Watson. And the writer was saying, like, I guess the NFL's statement about protecting quarterbacks is working. And Matthew's like, I don't have to be fake tough and end someone's, you know, career. He's like, the game was over. We all knew the game was over. Basically, it was just like, I took the high road. I love that dude. He is awesome. Had some questions coming out of college, different drug things, which I don't care about at all for the record. But, like, bottom line.
They seem to be answered.
I really, really, really like Tyrann Mathieu.
That's
a good example.
Yeah.
You could be excited about LSU. You could be an important Tiger. He was better there, by the way, than Odell Beckham Jr. was.
There's a play from the postseason that people have kind of tweeted around that's amazing. He fakes a blitz, takes away Watson's first read, and then as Watson moves to his right, takes away Watson's second read by going on the other side of the field, and then chases him out of bounds.
Wow.
It's the kind of play where you just go, oh, that's right. He is special.
He's the man.
Yeah.
Replacing Eric Berry. Anything you want me to tell Fiona when I see her today before we go do the TV segment?
Eat whatever food you'd like. It's better than anything Danny could offer. Let her know. Let her know that.
I will.
It's fine.
He's Danny M. Grant.
It's fine.
Radio.com app. Use the rewind function, or you can go to thefandc.com for our podcast. Big thanks to Brendan. Thank you, Trip. I'll watch you.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.